God is good. Oh, and all the time. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you would look in your order of service, you will see a sheet that says sermon notes. Amen. Today we begin a new sermon series, and we're so excited about it. It's entitled, what is it? When Life Knocks You Down. Anybody know anything about that? All right now. You're going to be encouraged today. Praise God. When life knocks you down. Amen. Now today, our specific message under that heading is, I failed, now what? All right. Next Sunday, Pastor Kelly will be preaching on God specializes in Plan B. Thank you. And then Pastor Rick is going to wrap it up with what's left. Praise God. He's going to bring it together. Amen. But today, I failed. Now what? Praise God, saints. We know everyone loves a winner, right? All right. But the problem is that we all failed, and we will have times that we will fail. Amen. Amen. And it's not just our Cavaliers that failed in their efforts to win that world NBA title. Hallelujah. Praise God. They're not the only ones who have experienced the failure. Amen. So I want us to just get this over with. Turn to your neighbor and say, okay. Maybe once or twice I failed. Okay. There's been some failures. All right. We all have failed. Amen. We all have experienced some heartbreak. Amen. Amen. That we have experienced in our own life. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want you to now turn to your neighbor and say, knocked down maybe, but not knocked out. But not knocked out. Not knocked out. Praise God. Scripture says in Proverbs, where there's life, there is hope. Amen. We've got hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what this series is about. But first, saints, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord God Almighty. Eternal God, we say thank you, and Lord, we praise you, and we deeply desire to live lives that will be in harmony with your plan for our lives. We acknowledge, oh God, that our best efforts do not always succeed. There are times when we fail miserably. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak now, as we actively listen to the preaching of your precious and holy word. Enable us, O God, to learn from you the ways we need to follow, the confessions we need to make, and the commitments we need to keep. And we praise you and thank you that you are a God of comebacks, and we give you honor this day. And all of your people join together to say, amen and amen. Saints, in the 70s, there was a runaway hit movie starring Sylvester Stallone, and it was entitled Rocky. All right. I love the series, and many people, including myself, didn't know the movie, what it was based on, a true life. And so I want us to take a look at a video clip from the movie Rocky, and we are going to get a glimpse at what it looks like for life to knock you down.
Jeff.
I'm okay, I'm okay.
Now, Saints, many people, including myself, were unaware that the movie Rocky was based on a real-life boxer. His name was Chuck Werner. Otherwise, he was known as the Bayonne Bleeder because he bled so easily and freely throughout his fights. Now, Werner was a good fighter, but not really a great fighter. So when he was scheduled to fight the great Muhammad Ali, almost everyone figured he wouldn't last through the first few rounds, more or less maybe the first round. He was a 20-1 underdog just before the bout. Ali, who was a bragging type of boxer, he had bragged, "I'm getting paid for $1.5 million to fight this pug. It's fool's gold. This sucker is just a clinch." You know how Muhammad Ali would talk. Ali went on to predict that he would knock Werner out in 3 rounds. That's not the way history went. It turned out Werner prepared harder for that fight than he had any fight ever before. As a result, not only did he last through 15 rounds, he actually knocked Muhammad Ali down with one of his punches, something that very few boxers had ever accomplished. So after the fight, Ali praised Werner by saying, "There's not another human being in the world that can go 15 rounds like that." According to the AP account, for 14 rounds and almost through the 15th round, the big, awkward, barroom brawler from New Jersey stood toe-to-toe with the world's titleweight heavyweight champion, taking Muhammad Ali's best shots without buckling. That's powerful. So Saints, this bleeder, this Bayonne bomber, who shouldn't have been able to last one or two rounds with the great Muhammad Ali, stood for 15 rounds. He wasn't nearly as good a fighter as Ali had been, yet he did what few of the best could do. He stayed on his feet. He stayed on his feet until the final round, and he gave nearly as good as he got. Hallelujah. The Saints, it's a story of a fighter past his prime, outmatched and beaten, yet coming back in the final rounds to rise victoriously, beating the more powerful, the more talented opponent. Well, I want to ask us today, when we go through, when we feel that we've been being punched down and knocked down in life, when we go through failures in our own lives, what are the first questions that we ask ourselves? I think sometimes we say, "Oh, why, oh God? Why is this happening to me? Why, oh God? Why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing me to be in this family? Of all families, oh God, I'm in this one. Why, oh God? Why did she have to do that? Why did he have to go over there and cause this and that to happen?" But you know what, Saints, better questions for us to ask when we are going through is, what can I learn through this experience? Oh God, what are you teaching me in this failure that I'm experiencing in my life? Well, Saints, today from the life of Peter, we can learn some very helpful lessons as to how to handle failure in our own lives. And the first of all is, failure is common to us all. All right, there's none here who hasn't failed at some point in your life. For at various stages of our lives, we will experience varying and different kinds of failure. Now, some failures are out of our control. Amen. Jesus himself, we see, he experienced failure. Mark 6, verses 1 through 6 tells us an account where Jesus experienced failure from a human point of view. He could not do any miracles there, Scripture says, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. From the world's point of view, Saints, Jesus was an earthly failure. He didn't set up that big kingdom that was just going to take over the world and bring peace on earth. He died on a cruel cross. He died and he was buried. And he was rejected by the religious and the non-religious leaders of his day. We look at the great Apostle Paul, who experienced one failure after another. 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 30, Paul gives us a litany of failures. He talks about hardships. He talks about persecution. He talks about pain. He could say, I've been down to the count of nine. When they be one, two, when they get to 10, it's over. I've been down to nine, but getting up, I've been knocked down, but knocked out. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Commentator William Barclay, he translates those verses this way. He says, we are sore pressed at every point. Now, I mean, you know, when you have a sore, one time I had a cord on my toe, that thing was the sorest thing. I tell you, now, if you can be sore on your toe, but if you're sore at every point, I'm telling you, you're sore. Because I know what a sore toe feel like, all right? We are sore at every point, but not hemmed in. We're at our wit's end. Have anybody ever been to your wit's end? It's like, oh, God, just not one more thing. We are persecuted by others, but never abandoned by God. We're not down, but not forsaken. We're not down, but not knocked out. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Tell your neighbor, not down, but not knocked out. Not knocked out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And saints, what we read about today in Acts chapter 4 is the story of one such hero. His name is Peter, and his name means rock, the rock. Actually, it means Rocky. Hallelujah. Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. Peter. And here in Acts 4, you know what? Is it hard to hear your name so much? I mean, praise God, Peter. You're wonderful. You're named after such a great, great apostle. But I know it must be praise God. Praise God. Here in Acts 4, we see Peter as a man of boldness. He's a man of courage, hallelujah, a man willing to face the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders of the nation, a man who not only intended to preach Jesus Christ no matter what it cost, but who preached with a boldness, y'all, that most of us here would envy. Oh, praise your name. However, everybody say however. However, not more than 2 months earlier, Peter was a beaten man. He had stepped into the ring with a better opponent, a demonic force who knew few equals, and he had been beaten badly. And Jesus warned Peter in Luke 22:31, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Now, saints, this was a passage that we studied this past week in life sharing and Bible study. How many were there? Wasn't it awesome? Wasn't it a good? Every group reported that they had a lively discussion. Every group reported that many of us were recalling times of failure in our own lives, and hard times in our own lives, and betrayals in our own lives. And we were blessed in being able to share that and healed in the Word of God together. And in this passage, Satan had hurt Peter badly. And not only did Peter end up denying Christ 3 times before the crucifixion, but Scripture tells us in John 20:19, after the crucifixion, it says, John tells us that Peter and the other disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Now, doesn't that sound like they failed the test? It sounded like they were failing the test. Now, some of you might say, well, you mean that Peter's failures were there because the devil made him do it? Well, partly, all right? One thing, we do have freedom of choice. But we do see that Jesus did warn Peter that Satan had demanded to sift him like wheat. And that tells us that there was something going on, that there were spiritual forces at work, things that we don't know everything about, a spiritual struggle between principalities and powers. And here was a battle that Peter could never win on his own. So in like fashion, saints, we're warned that as Christians, we're engaged in the same kind of spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that our conflict is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So we know we don't have what it takes, amen, but in Christ we've got all that we need to be victorious, amen. So when we step in the ring, when we go out into the world, when we go home, when we go on our jobs, when we go to school, when we step out, when we become Christians, we go to church, and when we pray, and when we have that time with the Lord, and when we talk to others about Jesus Christ, we're all facing off against Satan himself, because he don't like us doing that. He's getting mad. So I want us to look at the third point for today, and I want us to read it together. And it reads, from the moment we said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Satan's objective was to take us out of the fight. All right, saints, hear me clearly. Satan's objective, to do whatever it is to bring us down, whether it's morally, whether it's emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever he has to do, to hurt us so bad that we're not going to be much of a threat to his plans. And that's what he tried with Peter, and he nearly succeeded. Peter had been one of the most staunchest of disciples. He was like a rugged kind of disciple. He was always saying what he felt. You've heard the saying, open mouth, insert foot. Okay, he would do that a whole lot, you know. He was stubborn. He was kind of coarse, like blue-collar kind of guy who earned his living from working in the elements. It wasn't easy being a fisherman. The rain, the winds, and all that you have to go through. But he did that to feed his family and to pay his bills. And as we saw in our life-sharing class, we could see sometimes people look at Peter and they just say, well, what on earth was wrong with him? And we just come down so hard. What was wrong with the brother? But I want us to look at him from a viewpoint of compassion today. Now, his name means the rock, and Peter was about to have his heart smashed. And the greatest lesson that he was going to learn through this was not about greatness, but it was about God's grace. He was getting ready to learn something awesome about God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's restoring power. Peter was about to fail, and he was about to fail hard, but praise be to God, he was also to learn about God's forgiveness and mercy. So as we sympathize with Peter, I want us to just look closely at his failure. Well, what was his failure? Well, he was about to fall when he started arguing with Jesus. He told Jesus, I'm going to be with you to the end. I'm going to go with you all the way to prison. Yes, I am. Don't say I'm not, because I am. I'm going to go all the way to you with you to death. And Jesus is saying, No, Peter. And maybe he's just trying to say, you're wrong. I'm going to go. I'm going to make it. But either way, Jesus knew that Peter was about to stumble. And the evening progressed like this. Judas flees, and Jesus and the 11 disciples end up in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas brings the mob to arrest Jesus. And after a skirmish, Peter, he pulls out his little butcher knife, and he slices off one of the ears of the high priest's servant. Amen. Amen. And all of the disciples, they flee. Scripture says Mark runs off naked this way, and the other ones, they just run off scattered in different ways. Now, saints, from there, we see Peter and John next resurfacing at the high priest's courtyard. Now, from there, they can see Jesus being interrogated as they stand around warming themselves at the fire. They're watching what's going on. And three times, Peter is asked if he knows this Jesus guy, and that everybody is all in uproar. Or, do you know him? You look like one of him. You look like, and he responded, I don't know him. And then he said a second time, no, I don't know him. And the third time, scripture says it was more of an oath or a curse. And he shouted, for God's sake, I don't know him. The Bible tells us at this point, a rooster crows. Jesus looks down. And praise God, this was so powerful in our all-out praise play. And Jesus looks down. And Peter, they met eye to eye. He is filled with so much remorse for what he has just done. The scripture says he runs off. into the night. Peter is really Simon after all. But now, saints, what happened here is just what Jesus said in verse 31. Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. I want us to see here, saints, the you in that verse. It means all of the disciples, because the you is plural. It isn't just Peter. It's a plural you. It means all of them. And it means all of us. It means all of us. How many of us are willing to admit that at times you can feel Satan trying to sift you? You feel cuts and stabs and you feel punches. Oh, it don't feel good. It don't feel good. If you, I like to watch volleyball, and people, they be hitting that ball so hard. Sometimes they're right on the net, and they're just bamming it. Sometimes we can feel like that ball. Bam, 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 bam. Now, I want to share something powerful from this passage that will encourage us. The next time we're feeling like a volleyball being bammed out, the first thing is, dear friends, Jesus is on your side. Jesus is on our side, saints. I want you to high five your neighbor right now and just say, Jesus is on our side. Jesus is on our side. Jesus, praise your name. Jesus is on, Jesus got our back. Jesus is on our side. And Jesus is praying for us. Jesus told Simon Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. I'm praying for, Jesus is praying for us, hallelujah. Jesus knew that Peter would stumble, but he was still supporting him, loving him, praying for him. Now, for those who are aware, we don't understand that God loves you so much. Oh, God loves you so much that God walks with you. He wants to talk with you. As the choir sang today, he wants you to just sit down and just experience him. Just have quiet moments with him. Just rest with him, because he wants to rest with us. He wants to have those times with us. When we're walking in the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses. Jesus wants that with us. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. But there's some who don't understand this awesome love that God has for us. And we got this misconception somehow that God is trying to catch us do something wrong. God is trying to catch you make a mistake. God is trying to catch you in a failure. That ain't so. That's not our God. That's so far from the truth. Jesus knew that Peter was about to fail. So he warns him, and then he says, I'm comforting you because I'm praying for you as well. And Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. And Jesus said that Peter would turn back. Peter would come back. Hallelujah. How many know we serve the God of comebacks? Praise your name, Lord Jesus. You are a comeback God. And you allow us to experience comebacks in our lives. Thank you. Thank you so much, Miss Sandra. Now, generally, we are said to make a comeback when we fall behind beyond recovery point, you know, miraculously, when we begin to recover, to gain momentum and end up being winners. Oh, my goodness, saints, I have failed so many times in my life. So many times. If I start telling you, we'd be here for weeks and weeks and weeks. So, yeah, I just, okay, all right, thank you there. I won't try to do that. But one failure, I was thinking, I had to just laugh at this failure. When I was 16, and the day I turned 16, I started driving. I scooted my mother over. I said, I got it from here. Wherever you want to go, I'll drive you. Whatever you got to do, I'll do the driving. I love to drive, man. And so, I was ready to go take my license. So I went in and take my test, and I looked at the man. He said, hello. Okay, so here we go. All right, and so I just thought I was showing him how, you know, I could do the wheel with my feet. I parallel park with my arm over here. I mean, I just was so cool. And so when we finished the whole thing, I looked over at him, he looked at me, and he said, you failed. I said, failed what? I mean, failed what? He said, you failed the driving test. I said, why? Why did I fail the driving test? He said, the first place, when you went to so-and-so street and at that stop sign, you didn't come to a complete stop. I'm thinking, how long did you want me to stop at this thing? Oh, boy. Then he said, when you was going down this such a street, you was going 28 miles an hour. Didn't you see that the sign said 25? I'm like, oh my goodness sakes. And so he says, you can come back in 6 weeks and see if you can try it again. I was so humiliated in my failure. I went, my mom said, well, you got your license? I said, well, you see, it goes like this, I got to go back and see what happened here. 6 weeks, oh, it was terrible. So all my friends, oh, you got your license? You see, it happened like this. I was so embarrassed because I just told everybody I'd be back with my license. I was a complete failure. And so then when I went back in 6 weeks, okay, I got in. And so we started. We went to the stop sign. I looked at the man. He looked at me. He looked back. I looked at him again. I mean, he was like, well, would you just move on? So I moved on. And so I was driving so slow. I looked like a senior, because I was like, I am going to just control myself and get this license. And praise God, I passed the second time around. But that first failure, but God is the God of second chances. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And as Christians, as we praise God for God's willingness to help us come back from our setbacks, from our failures, from our life experiences. Tell your neighbor, please, down but never out. Down but never out. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, we see in the book of Micah prophesied that though the people of God were down, the nation would recover. Hallelujah. Though they were depressed, the nation would rise out of that depressed situation. Though out of favor, the nation would recover as its comeback from its national scorn. Micah made it plain that setbacks because of sin, mistakes, errors, fumbled plays, all of them can be expected in our lives. However, everybody say however. However, God's people should never lose hope. Hallelujah. Because this text, it tells us the prophet Micah, he is speaking to us even about our dilemma. At the time of this text, the people were suffering incredible hardship in their life. They were in a depressed condition. All they heard was bad news about the economy, bad news about what was going on in the nation's security. The nation's enemies, we see, were gloating over them, rejoicing in their terrible situation, at their helplessness of the Israelites. They were gloating over them, their inability to recover and get back into the game. Micah, first, he paints a very dreary picture. He portrays them as trailing, as losing ground, as fumbling, and making all kinds of errors that would cause them to fall out of favor. However, everybody say however. However, the prophet offered a word of hope. All through the situation, it was looking bad. But Micah says, even he says, and Israel will rise. Look there at verse 8. He says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Hallelujah! Don't gloat over me. I just got to put this in real quick. Amen. World, don't gloat over us. Amen. The Cavaliers, we will be back. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said in that movie, Terminator, I will be back. Amen. We will be back. Amen. Praise your name. All right. Do not gloat over us. Our enemies cannot gloat over us. The pilgrimage of faith for us as God's people is a hopeful one. Micah spoke of Jerusalem's doom and its future hope at the same time. Jerusalem's foes, they rejoiced over their hard times, but God is saying, oh, I am going to lift you up. Verse 10, they were asking, where is the Lord your God? That's what the world was saying. Where is the world? Oh, my goodness. Though for a moment they had fallen, Micah predicts its restoration. Saints, the hope of God's people, it cannot be destroyed by circumstances. We cannot be just, all is lost. All is not lost. Proverbs says, where there's life, there is hope. Hallelujah. All is not lost. God's people always have a better day. High five your neighbor and say, we always have a better day. God's people always have a better day. Amen. Amen. Even after setbacks and failures. Oh, I had just a difficult Friday, this past Friday. I was one of our young people, two of them here. I was trying to get to their grandmother's funeral service. They had given me the address. I was just going all up and down Sugar Boulevard for an hour and 15 minutes trying to find this church. And I was just getting so, so discouraged. So I said, I'm not going to make this service. I'm just so late. I cannot find this church. So I said, let me just call and leave a message for the family that I really was trying to be there for them. And so then I thought I was going to talk to an answering machine. And then someone answered. I said, this is Pastor Toby. I've been trying to get to the service. I cannot find. I gave her the address. She said, that's the wrong address. They gave you the wrong address. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I was just getting so frustrated because I just used so much time. And so I said, would you just know and let everybody know that Glenville loves them and we were there for them and this and that. And so they said, okay, thank you so much. And I was so frustrated. I had to pull the car over. And I said, oh, God, I have lost an hour and a half of this day just going up and down Shaker Boulevard. Shaker Boulevard is a hard street to get lost on. I said, oh, God, I just need you to just turn my day around because I'm just so frustrated. And so I had the CD. We're getting ready. It was a praise team CD getting ready for today. And I just pushed it on. I started playing it loud. And the Lord said, oh, just go ahead on. We're going to have us a good day. I started praising God. I didn't care who was looking at me. I went and did like 50 more things that day. I had such a prosperous day because my day was taking such a turn downward. But the Lord just made me a comeback kid, hallelujah. I was able to go, but even after such a discouraging, you know, I don't know if I got the address wrong, but I thought I didn't, and it was like a failure for me. I said, I'm going to find that church if it kills me. But I couldn't do it because I had the wrong address. But God turned my day around anyways, praise God. And God will do that for all of us. So no matter what failure that we are experiencing, just turn to your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, get over it and move on. Just move on, hallelujah. Because of God, we can move on, amen. We don't have to stay in that very negative place, praise God. Now, I want us to just look at several lessons from Peter's failure and from his recovery, amen, his comeback, that we can apply in our own lives. The first is, saints, recognize that God was not taken by surprise when we fail. Hallelujah. Katie, God knew I was going to be going up and down Shaker Boulevard all morning. So God had that CD ready for me. You know, God wasn't taken by surprise. When we fail, whatever we have done to fail, God wasn't taken by surprise. And God is ready to just heal us, pick us up, turn us around, set our feet on the solid ground, and get us going again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We see Jesus predicted Peter's moral lapse. He knew that it was going to happen. He gave him warning. He gave him direction. And he says, I'm praying for you, Peter. Saints, it's good to know that we are loved on all sides. We are loved before our failure. We are loved in the midst of our failure. We are loved after we have failed. Praise your name, Lord God. You are loved on all sides of your experience. Because God's love is unconditional. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor and say, oh, God's love is unconditional. Thank you for that. Thank you for your unconditional love, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And secondly, we have to realize we're not the only one who has this problem. Whatever your problem is, you're not the only one who has a problem. All right, one of my problems is I do get lost sometimes. The visiting team, they laugh at me. We come out of a room, and then they say, which way? I say, that way. They said, that means we need to go this way. Because I just was born without this sense of direction, amen. But I'm not the only one with this problem, amen. I'm always calling Pastor Rick, like, Pastor Rick, I'm going such and so way, and I just so, and, you know, I'm always, amen, always calling him up. All right, but I'm not the only one. Whatever your problem is, you are not the only one with that problem, amen. Praise God. We do see here Peter did commit individual sin, but he wasn't alone, because we all sin, Scripture says, and come short of the glory of God. The other disciples, they were guilty too. And this here is put in the Scripture for our benefit, amen, so that we know we too will fail. We too will make mistakes. And we see Satan was involved, and Satan is involved in all of our lives. We look at the life of Job. Satan was involved in that. When he asked God, you know, can I talk to you about your servant Job? When I read that, I'm like, oh God, please don't talk to Satan about me. Don't judge us, you know. But Satan was involved in that. You know, he might shake us and sift us, but no matter what Satan does, Satan cannot remove us from the love of God. Satan cannot remove us from God's arms. Oh, praise God. Thank you for your unconditional love. And you know what else? Satan wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel, I'm all by myself. Nobody cares. I just might as well go jump off somewhere. No, you are never alone. Jesus promised never to leave us. Never to leave us alone. So you are not alone. Amen. Jesus is with you. And really, we're here for each other. We need to humble ourselves, call each other up, go see each other so we can be an encouragement one to another. Amen. Now, I want us to read 1 Corinthians 10:13 together. This is a powerful passage of Scripture that is so encouraging about temptations that come into our lives. So let's read 1 Corinthians 10:13 together. No temptation has seized you except what is common. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. God has already provided a way of escape. And so thirdly, what is the third one? We need to learn to accept personal responsibility for real failure. Amen. God has given us all the gift of choice, so we do have a responsibility. Amen. The real source of moral failure is self. Just say self. It's real. This is the real source. It's self. It's self. Oh, God, help us to die daily to self. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. You know, the devil, he wants to sift us. He knows how to pull our strings. He knows what will get under our skin. He knows if they say that for the 10th time, that is really going to be it. You know, he knows what gets to us. He knows how to raise your blood pressure. All right. All right. He knows how to get you impatient. All right. He knows how to get you frustrated. Oh, I was so frustrated on Friday. But Jesus is warning to Peter is the same to us today, saints. That Satan is trying to get you. He's trying to sift you. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to break your spirit. He's trying to break your family. He's trying to break your heart. He's trying to break your faith in God. Every time there's a problem, Satan is going to try to use that to hurt us and to pull us down. But praise be to God, saints, we have an advocate, and His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I am praying for you, and I have all power in my hands to help you through, to take you to victory. In Luke 22:32, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers and your sisters. When you have, so he was telling him, you are going to turn back, brother. So the good news for us, every believer, say, is no matter what your failure is today, no matter what you are going through, because of Jesus Christ, every child of God, every last one of us can become a comeback kid. Hallelujah! I know I'm a comeback kid. I didn't come back so many times. You can just call me Comeback Pastor Toby. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! All of us can be comeback kids. Amen. Despite our best intentions, saints, there are times even when our best intentions will fail. Our best intentions will fail. We give our best shots at times, and that's all they were shots. They didn't land. They didn't land. We missed. We missed. Oh, praise God, but we can come back from that, saints. There are times when it appears that everything is going wrong in our life. It's like one more thing. Everything keeps making us fall further and further behind. We can't seem to catch up. Oh, praise God, but leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. Oh, we've got victory, and we can make comebacks through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to say to you today, whether it's your career, your family, whether it's relationships, whether it's your business, the ability to come back is right there for you. And it's what makes a difference for we Christians. We have the ability to come back through God. Our challenge is to let the power of God, everybody say the power of God, use us in a way that we rise up again and we gain momentum. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter how far we've fallen back, we can keep coming back. Amen. If the world hits us with defeat, oh, let's come back with an attitude of victory. Amen. If the world hits us with failure, hallelujah, let's come back with the determination, I'm going to succeed. I might have failed the first time. I might have failed the second time. I don't know how many times it's going to take me. You know what? We have one of our saints, and she shared this as a testimony. It was Betty Hayes. She said, Pastor Toby, I took my driving test 17 times. And it was on the 17th time I passed the test and got my license. Hallelujah! She did not try to get her down. Debbie just kept going back. They would say, you failed. You failed. You failed. She heard that 16 times. But she went on the 17th time. Then she got her license. Praise God. So no matter how many times we have failed, oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, if the world hits us with a failure, then we just be determined. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to try again. That was our mother, she would say all the time, if you first don't succeed, try again. Amen. Praise God. If relationships, you've been working on a relationship, and oh, dear God, it just won't. Just keep trying. Keep praying. I had a relationship in the sixth grade. This group of girls, they just did not like me. They said, oh, you're Miss Goody Two Shoes. You always wear the dress. And then you got the nerve to wear a white dress on. After communion Sunday, we wear that dress to school, so we'd have white dresses on sometimes. So all you wear is white dress. You just go to church all the time, Miss Goody Goody. So one time, you don't go to no parties. You don't do this, you don't do that. I'm just as happy as I can be. Why are you bothering me? Why does it bother you that I'm wearing a dress? Why does it bother you that I go to church all the time? Oh, so one day they plotted against me. They said, we gonna beat her up. And so I was walking home from school. All right, and so they jumped out. And they started pushing me like this, one side, like this. That's how I was going. I was going like that. And I counted them. I said, there's six of them. I ain't going to try to fight no six girls at no one time. I ain't crazy now. I ain't no crazy. And so what they did, they got tired of doing that. So they just picked me up and threw me in the bushes. Okay. So I said, I ain't going to jump up and try to fight these six people. So I just laid in the bushes. Okay. So they got so tired of looking at me. They just were like, and they just walked on home. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? God is a God of comebacks and relationships. Because by the time we all graduated from high school, we were good friends. And they actually respected me very much. On into college, and I still have a contact with two of them. Amen. So if you can go from somebody trying to beat your butt and throw you into the bushes to actually respecting you by the time you graduate from high school, that's God. That's God. That's God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I know a God who serves and who gives us comeback. Oh, thank you that I can be a comeback gift. Because you are a God of comebacks. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you can take defeat and you can turn it into victory. You can take our misery and just turn it into joy. You can take tragedy and turn it into opportunity. You can take misfortune and turn it into good fortune. Hallelujah. Oh, you can take our doubts and wipe them out. And we praise you today. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you loved us so much that you suffered, you died. You were pierced, you were beaten, and you were killed, and you were buried. Hallelujah. And because of your love for us, oh, the world thought you was down, but they didn't know you was the God of comebacks. And on that third day, bam, there you were, risen indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The world found out that you were a comeback God. Oh, I want to encourage you today, don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Whatever you're going through, don't give up, because Jesus is praying for you. He's already made a way for you, hallelujah, to escape the clutches of the devil, for you to overcome. Your faith will not fail, hallelujah. Trust in the Lord, amen. Oh, turn back to Jesus Christ, no matter what you've gone through, and you will be victorious. Oh, praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want just at this moment just to end our message with a clip. And it just shows how comebacks, God can make comebacks happen in each of our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, from being an underdog.
I can't believe this is happening. I can't. And I just want to say thanks to Obama. Fight me, Obama. Oh, I thank Mickey for training me.
We love you, Ron!
And I love you, too. Most of all, I want to thank God. Except for my kid being born. This is the greatest night in the history of my life. I just want to say one thing to my wife at home. Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
God has brought me out of so many situations. God has taken my feet when I was in some mud, y'all. Picked me up and put my feet on solid ground when I didn't know what on earth I was doing. And we look at Jesus, and he was lied on in court. He was falsely accused, and he still made a comeback for us, every one of us. He was stripped of his clothes, saints, and he was whipped all night long. But the game wasn't over, hallelujah, because Jesus made a comeback for us. He was nailed to an old rugged cross, and a spear was stuck in his side, but it wasn't over, because our Lord made a comeback. At Calvary, the world thought it was over, but it wasn't. I want to say to you today that Jesus loves you today. He came that we all might have life, eternal life, and also abundant life, victorious life right here. He wants us all to enter in heaven and be with him forever. And he wants to give us victory today. He wants to give you victory over whatever is in your life that's causing you a problem. Whatever failure that's got you down today, Jesus wants to give you victory over that.